Hello, hello, hello. Back once again, it is your commish with FNF zone coverage. Today, great day. This marks the end of the regular season, playoffs right around the corner here. We made it through an entire regular season with the podcast, guys. Third year in. A couple struggles year one and two with this. Finally, we've got an entire regular season taken care of in a podcast. Absolutely excited for that. Can't wait to dig into the playoffs for sure. Many, many great games that I will be going over. So let's dig into it, shall we? Week 17, final week of the regular season. First game on our list is the Cleveland Browns taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. A 35-0 ass-kicking for the Browns, showing and proving how dominant they could be in this league. 365 yards of offense for them as they head towards the playoffs. 66 total yards for the Bengals, 7 of those rushing. Incredible stat right there. Cleveland has 1 turnover, Cincinnati with 2, and time possession, of course, in favor of the Browns. By nearly just missing out on about 8 minutes. KJ Costello in this one, 220 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. Teddy Bridgewater, 88 yards and an interception. I feel like Baker Mayfield may have been sat for this game due to the fact of injury. Just a safety precaution. If that is so, very, very well done. Not many people do that, honestly. It's a smart move. You want to have about the best possible chance to win as possible in the playoffs and have the most complete team as possible in the playoffs. Our rushing stats for this one, which we know are going to be high for Cleveland, but not very high here for Cincinnati. CJ Anderson, 18 attempts, 140 yards on a touchdown there on the day for him. Nick Chubb, 2 attempts for 11 yards for Cleveland as well. Cincinnati's Damian Williams, 13 attempts for 10 yards. Dude had a 0.8 in carry average. A 0.8, not even a single yard. That is going to be damaging to a contract extension. Finishing up with rushing, KJ Costello for Cleveland, chipping in with those passing totals as well. Just 1 attempt for 1 yard. So, you know, he only had to move when he needed to. Great to see that it was only that one time for about a yard. First three being Cleveland here in receiving. Again, no surprise. David Njoku, 3 receptions, 73 yards, and a touchdown. We've got Trey Quinn, 5 receptions, 55 yards, and a touchdown. As well as Paul Richardson Jr., 3 receptions for 44 yards. Ball getting spread out a little bit here just in the first couple that I've noticed for Cleveland. That is absolutely great. Nothing too overpowering. The ball being spread out pretty evenly, even from a touchdown standpoint. So I love that. I really do. Anytime that ball gets spread out through the entire offense, it definitely helps you win games because it makes everybody second guess who the ball is going to go to, because it can go to anyone at any given time if the ball is being spread out amongst every player on that offense. Tyler Boyd for the Cincinnati Bengals, 3 receptions, 32 yards, as well as Antonio Gandy-Golden, 2 receptions, 25 yards. Back over to Cleveland, we've got Jake Ferguson, the rookie from Wisconsin, 4 receptions, 22 yards, and a touchdown there for him. And C.J. Anderson chipping in on the receiving end as well with those rushing totals. 2 receptions for 19 yards. Cincinnati's Damian Williams chipping in on the receiving end as well with 2 receptions and 16 yards. We've got Tyler Eifert with a 15-yard reception there for the Bengals. And a 14-yard reception for Austin Seferin Jenkins for the Cleveland Browns. The first five, roughly, for Cincinnati being tops here in defense. We've got Jordan Hicks with a 7 tackle for a loss day. Josh Jackson with 7 tackles. Kamu Kruger-Hill with 6 tackles. Anthony Hitchens with 6 tackles, a tackle for a loss. As well as Jesse Bates III with 4 tackles and an interception on the day there for the Cincinnati defense, at least the first portion of the Cincinnati defense. Next couple here being for Cleveland, we've got Tayshaun Bower with 4 tackles, a sack, and an interception. Not a half bad day there for the linebacker, pretty solid overall. Not really any numbers that jump out, obviously. He only had the 4 tackles. Did manage to get a sack and an interception in the game, though. So, pretty solid day overall for him. We've got Sione Taki-Taki. Is that literally him? Yeah, Taki-Taki. Okay. Sione Taki-Taki. What a last name for this guy. 4 tackles, 2 tackles for a loss, and a sack on the day for him, as well as Larry Ogunjobi, 4 tackles, 2 tackles for a loss for him. Cincinnati's Matthew Judon, 3 tackles, 2 for a loss, as well as Frank Clark for them as well, 3 tackles, a tackle for a loss, and a sack. We've got Javon Hargrave for Cincinnati as well. 2 tackles and a sack. Cleveland's Denzel Watt, 2 tackles and a sack for him. Chauncey Rivers for Cleveland. Tackle and a sack for him as well. And the only thing we've got in way of kicking here is Cleveland's Austin Siebert with 5-for-5 on extra points to finish up Cleveland's final game of the regular season. Up next, we've got the Buffalo Bills taking on the New England Patriots. Again, another ass whooping here. 51-12 in favor of New England. 611 yards of offense there for them. 132 for Buffalo. Glaring stat here once again is rushing. Buffalo held to 0 rushing yards in the game. 0 rushing yards. Turnovers, Buffalo wins this battle 1-3. Not that it actually seemed to matter. And time possession solely in favor of New England by just under 7 minutes. Well, is that 7 minutes? No, it's almost 8 minutes as well. Jordan Love getting some time here in this one. 60 yards and a touchdown. Ryan Williamson, 373 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. And we've got Buffalo's Josh Allen with 155 yards. rushing Alvin Kamara on top here. First couple being for New England, actually. I mean, well, you know, basically it's all going to be for them anyway because Buffalo didn't have any rushing yards. But we've got Kamara, 12 attempts, 107 yards, and a touchdown. Williamson chipping in as well with those passing totals. 5 attempts, 66 yards, 2 touchdowns. Did fumble one time. If I remember correctly, I don't believe that was on an actual rush. I believe he was trying to get out of pocket to avoid a sack, and then got smacked by another guy to cause that fumble. But again, it's just one of those things where we've had a major issue with QBs fumbling this year. That may be his fifth fumble this season, possibly. So, I mean, not that it's good, but it's also not necessarily horrible. Not like some of the other guys, who had like 5 in 2, 3 weeks. Moving on, we've got Jonathan Taylor, 5 attempts, 15 yards on the day, as well as Jordan Love chipping in with a 12-yard rush as well with those passing totals. For Buffalo, David Johnson, 1 attempt, four yards. That's all you're really seeing there. Where is... I'm not... Okay, there we go. And the reason why they've got no rushing yards, Devin Singletary in this game, 16 attempts, negative 4 yards. This guy averaged a negative 0.3 yard per carry. So, absolutely incredible. Receiving, we've got Albert Okwuegbunam for New England. The first three being New England here. 7 receptions, 131 yards, and a touchdown there for him. Pretty good day for the tight end. Marquise Brown, 4 receptions, 123 yards, and a touchdown there for him as well. Jerry Jeudy, 2 receptions, 84 yards, and a touchdown. Buffalo's David Johnson chipping in on the receiving end, doing much better than what he did with his rushing totals. 4 receptions, 71 yards for him. Philip Dorsett, the second for Buffalo as well. 4 receptions, 458 yards. Back to New England with the next few. We've got Odell Beckham Jr., 4 receptions, 56 yards on a touchdown. Grant Calcaterra with a 20-yard reception. Donovan Peoples-Jones, 2 receptions, 19 yards. Buffalo's Gerald Everett, an 18-yard reception. Keyshawn Johnson with a 8-yard reception that actually resulted in a fumble as well. So let's move on to defense. Tremaine Edmonds with 11 tackles and a sack on the day. Voshon Joseph, 10 tackles and a half a sack. New England's TJ Watt, 6 tackles, 4 tackles for a loss and a sack. Back to Buffalo, Geno Atkins, 6 tackles and a sack and a half. Tyler Rapp for New England with 6 tackles. Buffalo's Jordan Poyer with 6 tackles. Bud Dupree, 5 tackles, 2 for a loss and a half a sack. Patriots, Devin White, 5 tackles, tackle for a loss. Micah Hyde for the Bills with 5 tackles. Chase Winovich in New England, 4 tackles, 4 tackles for a loss. Ed Oliver for Buffalo, 3 tackles, tackle for a loss and a sack and a half. Eric Armstead for the Patriots, 3 tackles, tackle for a loss, and a sack. Tre'Davious White for the Buffalo Bills, 3 tackles, 2 interceptions. Chidobe Awuzie for New England, 3 tackles and a sack for the corner. That looks like it pretty much wraps up, and it does wraps up the defensive portion of this game. So we move on to the end, which is the kicking. We've got Matt Coughlin for the Bills, 2 for 2 for field goal range, 42 being his long, and missing on his only extra point attempt, which I believe resulted in a pick six, if I remember correctly. And Harrison Butker for New England connecting on all 7 of his extra points as New England finishes the final week of the regular season with a victory. Up next, we've got the Columbus Explorers taking on the Miami Dolphins. A 2017 win here for Columbus. 385 yards of offense for Miami, 356 for Columbus. Both turnovers going to Miami in this one, and time possession in favor of Columbus by almost a minute. Patrick Mahomes, 265 yards, 2 touchdowns on the day, was sacked 5 times. And Cam Newton, 273 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Trayvon Williams for Columbus, 18 attempts, 60 yards, fumbled 1 time. Miami's J.K. Dobbins, 13 attempts, 57 yards. Felix Gerrard, 8 attempts, 32 yards, and a touchdown. Pat Mahomes chipping in as well with 2 attempts on 14 yards. Booby Williams for Columbus as well, 7 attempts, 13 yards. Miami's Camden Brown, 3 attempts, 10 yards. Cam Newton chipping in as well, 2 receptions, or yeah, reception, sorry. 2 attempts for 6 yards. We are still in rushing. Now we're in receiving. Albert Wilson for Miami, 11 attempts, 100, and I did it again. We're in receiving. It's not attempts, it's receptions. Jesus, it's an early morning. Don't mind me. Albert Wilson, 11 receptions, 150 yards. Missing out on that touchdown, though, for what was otherwise a really good game for him. Preston Williams for Miami, 6 receptions, 81 yards, and a touchdown. John Brown for Columbus, 4 receptions, 65 yards, and a touchdown. Booby Williams chipping in as well on the receiving end with those slim rushing totals. 3 receptions for 42 yards. Braxton Berrios for them, 2 receptions, 40 yards. Quincy Enunwa, 2 receptions for 29 yards. Gary Jennings for Miami, 3 receptions for 27 yards as well. On defense, Joey Rutherford, 10 tackles, 3 tackles for a loss, 3 sacks in this game. So 3 out of the 5 Pat Mahomes sacks were from Rutherford. Great day for the rookie. Xavien Howard, 9 tackles, half a sack. Columbus's Dorian O'Daniel, 9 tackles, tackle for a loss. Tyrann Mathieu with 8 tackles. Bobby McCain for the Dolphins with 7 tackles. Artie Burns for Columbus, 6 tackles and an interception. Ricardo Allen for Miami, 6 tackles. Raekwon McMillan for them as well, 5 tackles, half a sack. Devon Godchaux for Miami as well, 4 tackles, tackle for a loss, and a sack to finish off defense. On to kicking, Brandon McManus connecting on his only attempt from 27 yards, as well as making both of his extra point attempts in what is a loss in Miami's season finale. Up next, a pretty solid game, Brooklyn Bulls taking on the Tennessee Titans in last year's rematch of the Super Bowl. Tides have changed in this one. Brooklyn wins 35-31, 394 yards of offense there for Tennessee. 376 for Brooklyn. Both turnovers going to Tennessee in this one as well. Tennessee also taking time of possession by roughly about, see, three, just over 5 minutes. Lamar Jackson, perfect QB rating. 277 yards, four touchdowns, was sacked four times though. Damian Richardson, 279 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. And Josh Rosen chipping in with 2 yards as well. Sony Michel, 17 attempts, 73 yards on the day. Next couple being Tennessee here. We've got Zach Moss, 12 attempts, 49 yards, and a touchdown. Derrick Henry, 13 attempts, 38 yards, and a touchdown. And Damian Richardson chipping in on the receiving end, or rushing end, excuse me, as well with those passing totals. 3 attempts, 21 yards, and a touchdown. Lamar Jackson, next couple, well, only two left here for Brooklyn. He's chipping in as well with those passing totals. 4 receptions. I did it again, receptions. 4 attempts. 15 yards and a touchdown there for him. And TJ Logan, 3 attempts for 7 yards. Sorry about that, guys. It's a long morning. Very, very long morning. Up next for receiving, we've got Rondale Moore for Tennessee, 6 receptions, 105 yards and a touchdown. Brooklyn's Adam Shaheen, 5 receptions, 73 yards and a touchdown. Back to Tennessee, AJ Brown, 5 receptions, 70 yards. Back to Brooklyn for the next two, Amari Cooper, 7 receptions, 70 yards and a touchdown. As well as Taylen Wallace with 3 receptions, 67 yards and 2 touchdowns. Over to the Titans, Corey Davis, 5 receptions, 51 yards. Cooper Kupp, 3 receptions, 35 yards for the Bulls. Brandon Dillon, 2 receptions, 32 yards for the Bulls. Jonnu Smith, 4 receptions, 25 yards there in Tennessee. Derrick Henry as well, chipping in with an 18-yard reception to go with those rushing totals he had on the day. Over to defense. Jayon Brown, 10 tackles, 2 for a loss and a sack. Not a bad day there for the linebacker. Next few being Brooklyn here. We've got Timothy Poindexter, 9 tackles and an interception. Grant Delpit, 7 tackles, 2 for a loss. As well as Carlton Davis III with 7 tackles. Tennessee's Vernon Hargreaves III, 7 tackles. Rashawn Evans, 5 tackles, a tackle for a loss. And a sack as well in this one. Brooklyn's Holton Hill, Derwin James Jr., and Jalen Ramsey all with 5 tackles. Jordan Davis for them as well, 3 tackles, 2 for a loss. Jeffrey Simmons Jr. for Tennessee, 3 tackles, tackle for a loss, and a sack and a half. And we've got DeAndre Walker for Tennessee as well with 2 tackles and a half a sack. And what wraps up our defense stats? Joey Sly, Tennessee's Joey Sly, making his only field goal attempt of 42 yards and connecting on all 4 extra points, as well as Brooklyn's Robbie Gould connecting on all 5 of his. Brooklyn finishes out the season with a win. Titans finish out the season with a loss in this one. Next, we've got the Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears, a 56-21 victory for Minnesota, scoring 21 alone in the fourth. 529 yards of offense for them, 166 for Chicago. They had just over 50 rushing yards. 2 turnovers for Minnesota, 3 for Chicago, and time possession in favor of Minnesota as well, 18-34 to 13-26. Sam Darnold, perfect QB rating, 316 yards, three touchdowns on the day there for him. Trey Lance, 136 yards, a touchdown, three interceptions, as his abysmal season is now over. Dalvin Cook, 21 attempts, 219 yards, two touchdowns. Amazing day for Cook. David Montgomery, 11 attempts, 48 yards there for Chicago. Tariq Cohen, two attempts for 8 yards. And Minnesota's Alexander Mattison, two attempts, 2 yards, two touchdowns. All you need to know with him. Full of twos in this one. Stephon Diggs, seven receptions, 179 yards and a touchdown. Chicago's Allen Robinson, the second, three receptions, 53 yards and a touchdown. Next couple here being for the Vikings. Adam Thielen, five receptions, 36 yards. DeVonta Smith, two receptions, 34 yards. And Kyle Pitts, three receptions, 31 yards, and a touchdown. Over to Chicago, we have Colby Parkinson, three receptions, 31 yards. And Ray Ray McLeod III with three receptions, 28 yards. Dalvin Cook for the Vikings chipping in on the receiving end as well with those rushing totals. Four receptions for 25 yards. And then we've got Cole Beasley with an 11-yard touchdown reception. First few on defense being for Chicago. Eddie Jackson, 10 tackles, one for a loss. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, 8 tackles. Kyle Fuller, 6 tackles. And Roquan Smith, 6 tackles, 3 for a loss. Minnesota's Eric Kendricks with 6 tackles, 1 for a loss. Khalil Mack for Chicago, 5 tackles, 1 for a loss. Bud for Minnesota here, 5 tackles and a sack. We've got Akiem Hicks for Chicago, 4 tackles and a sack. Danielle Hunter for Minnesota, 4 tackles, tackle for a loss and a sack. Emmanuel Mosley and Marcus Williams here for the Vikings, 3 tackles and an interception for both of them. Everson Griffin, 3 tackles and a sack. Chicago's Belial Nichols, 2 tackles, tackle for a loss. Quincy Wilson for Minnesota, 2 tackles and an interception as well. And to wrap it up, we've got Eddie Goldman for the Chicago Bears, 1 tackle, 1 tackle for a loss, 1 sack. As we move over to finish off this one in kicking, Luke Logan, 3 for 3 on extra point. Matt Prater missing his only field goal attempt, which was blocked, but did make all 8 of his extra points as Minnesota finishes off the year with a win. Next, we have the London Monarchs taking on the Denver Broncos. 37-19 victory for the Broncos in this one. 322 yards of offense to London's 289. One turnover for Denver, 5 for the Monarchs, and time possession solely in favor of the Denver Broncos, 18-21 to 13-39. Justin Herbert, 176 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception. Chris Mercado, 192 yards, touchdown, 5 interceptions, was sacked 7 times as well in this one. Philip Lindsay, 23 yards, or yeah, 23 yards, 23 attempts, 149 yards, 2 touchdowns for a great day for him. Chris Mercado chipping in on the rushing end as well. Those passing totals, 5 attempts, 140 yards, 2 touchdowns on the day for him. Back to Denver, we've got Andy Janovich, 7 attempts, 17 yards, and a touchdown. Ezekiel Elliott completely shut down in this one, 9 attempts, 9 yards. On the receiving end, we've got DeAndre Hopkins on top here, 3 receptions, 111 yards, and a touchdown. Denver's Geronimo Allison, 5 receptions, 82 yards, and a touchdown on the day for him. Courtland Sutton for the Broncos as well, 2 receptions for 58 yards. Ezekiel Elliott pretty lackluster rushing totals in this one. He did have three receptions for 37 yards in the game. Denver's Mike Williams with four receptions, 36 yards, and a touchdown. Sterling Shepard for London, two receptions for 29 yards, and Evan Engram with a 15-yard reception as well. First two here in London on defense, JJ, what? Eight tackles, two sacks on the day. Not a half bad day for Watt. Anthony Barr, eight tackles, two for a loss. Denver's Bradley Chubb, six tackles, two tackles for a loss, three sacks. Very, very good game for Bradley Chubb. Jonathan Jones of the Monarchs, five tackles. Kenneth Murray for Denver, five tackles, two sacks. Back to London, we've got Kendall Sheffield and Jermaine Pratt with four tackles each. The Broncos, Jaden Lars Woodbay, four tackles, tackle for a loss, a sack, and an interception. Not a bad day for the rookie. Free safety, sorry, strong safety, actually, from Florida State. Alexander Johnson for Denver as well. Three tackles and a sack on the day. And we've also got Denver's Isaiah Simmons. Two tackles, tackle for a loss, and three interceptions on the day. Very good game there for Isaiah Simmons as well. And that looks like it about wraps it up. Quentin Dunbar for Denver with a tackle and an interception. Kyrie Willis of London with an interception. And yes, that officially is our last notable stat. On to kicking. Let's finish off this game. Greg Zuerlein connecting on his only field goal attempt of 49 yards. Also, 2 for 4 from extra point. Not a great day kicking from extra point for Zuerlein. London's Aldrich Rosas connecting on his only extra point attempt as well. Denver finishing off the regular season strong, just one loss. London falling in their final game of the year as well. Up next, we've got the Oklahoma City Nighthawks against the Atlanta Falcons. Another ass-whooping game here. OKC taking this one 55-7, making them 15-1 on the year. 21 points scored in the second quarter alone. 494 yards of offense there for them. 240 for the Falcons. Not even 50 yards rushing for them. One turnover for Oklahoma City. Four for the Falcons. Time possession was in favor of it for Atlanta, though. By just under 4 minutes. Not that it really mattered anyway. Jacob Eason getting a little work in. 21 yards and a touchdown there for him. Jameis Winston, 244 yards, four touchdowns and an interception. Matt Ryan, 213 yards, a touchdown, three interceptions there for him. Melvin Gordon III, 14 attempts, 159 yards and a touchdown. Not a bad day for him. Kellen Mond, who's been used as a, I guess you could say, halfback of sorts over the last couple weeks. The third string quarterback with two attempts for 42 yards on the day in this one. Devonta Freeman for Atlanta, six attempts, 33 yards. OKC's Le'Veon Bell, two attempts, 27 yards and a touchdown as well. Over to receiving, we've got Mike Evans on top. Five receptions, 80 yards, two touchdowns. Calvin Ridley for the Falcons, four receptions, 72 yards. Next to here being OKC, we've got Austin Hooper, three receptions, 72 yards and a touchdown. CJ Ham with a 64-yard reception. Atlanta's Cameron Brate, six receptions, 52 yards. Chris Godwin for the Nighthawks with a 28-yard touchdown reception. Ito Smith for Atlanta, 4 receptions, 22 yards. I don't believe he had any rushing totals. Oh, yes, he did. 6 attempts and 9 yards. But it wasn't really noteworthy. But he chipped in on the receiving end as well. OKC's Deion Kane, 2 receptions, 21 yards, and a touchdown. Darius Slayton for Atlanta, 4 receptions, 15 yards, and a touchdown as well. On to defense. Oklahoma City Nighthawks, Rex Burd III, 12 tackles, 2 tackles for a loss. Atlanta's Demonte Kazee, 9 tackles on the day. Next couple being OKC. We've got Eric Murray, 7 tackles and a tackle for a loss. Jamal Adams, 7 tackles, a sack, and an interception. Not a bad day there for him. Lavonte David, 7 tackles and an interception. And Jamal Dean, 6 tackles and an interception as well. Over to Atlanta, next few being them. We've got Joel with an I. You guys know I'm not pronouncing this last name, not happening. 6 tackles, tackle for a loss for him. Desmond Trufant, 5 tackles and an interception, as well as Eric Reed with 5 tackles on the day. We've got Jihad Ward, 2 tackles and a sack for Atlanta. OKC's Max Crosby, 2 tackles and a sack as well. Kaimae Fairbairn, connecting on his only extra point attempt in the game. And Josh Lambeau for Oklahoma City connecting on all 7 extra points as well. As I said, OKC finishing strong with a win to end the regular season. Up next, Houston Texans, San Francisco 49ers. Pretty much another ass whooping in this one. 35 to nothing. 21 points scored in the first quarter for San Francisco, 358 yards of offense, 98 for the Texans, under 50 yards rushing. 2 turnovers for the Niners, 6 there for Houston, and time possession, of course, in favor of the 49ers, 17-49 to 14-11. Brock Purdy getting the work in this game, 137 yards and an interception. Deshaun Watson, 175 yards, 4 interceptions, sacked 11 times in this game. Raheem Mostert, 21 attempts, 203 yards and a touchdown. Purdy putting in the work on the receiving end as well. Those are at the rushing end, not the receiving end, as well as his passing totals. 3 attempts, 39 yards, 2 touchdowns on the day for him. Houston's James White, 5 attempts, 13 yards, 2 fumbles in this one. And Duke Johnson Jr., 4 attempts for 10 yards. We've got Robert Foster with a fumble in this one. 2 attempts, 4 yards, and Logan Thomas with a 3-yard touchdown run there for San Francisco. Will Fuller, the fifth, 3 receptions, 86 yards for him. Next few being San Fran here. Robert Foster once again. Couple things he had going on there. Rushing with that fumble as well. 4 receptions, 61 yards receiving in this game. George Kittle with a 33-yard reception, and Darryl Daniels with a 27-yard reception. Houston's, actually, next few will be Houston. Kenny Stills, 2 receptions, 22 yards. Josh Reynolds with a 22-yard reception. Cale Waring, 2 receptions, 18 yards, and KJ Hill, 2 receptions for 17 yards. On defense, we've got Bednarik McKinney, 8 tackles, tackle for a loss there for Houston. Crazy game for D Ford. 7 tackles, 5.5 sacks on the day for him. I'm gonna have to look after this game because D Ford has had himself a pretty monster season. I feel like he broke the sack record. I'll check that one out after the game. To finish off San Fran here with this next guy before we move back over to Houston, Ulysses Gilbert III with 7 tackles as well. Zach Cunningham, 6 tackles for him. Back to San Fran, we've got Richard Sherman, still putting in some work. 5 tackles, a sack, and interception on the day for him. Logan Ryan for the Texans, 5 tackles, tackle for a loss. We've got Dre Greenlaw for San Fran, 4 tackles and a sack. Chaz Surratt for Houston, 3 tackles, 3 sacks. DeForest Buckner for San Fran, 3 tackles, tackle for a loss, and a half a sack. Nick Bosa not having a bad game either. Same stats as Surratt, 3 tackles, 3 sacks for him. San Fran's AJ Green, 3 tackles, 2 interceptions. Houston's Chuck Clark, 2 tackles and an interception as well. We've got Chris Westry for San Fran with a tackle and interception to finish off our defensive stats. On to kicking, we've got Giorgio Tavecchio missing on his field goal attempt, but making all 5 extra point attempts, and Brett Maher missing both his field goal attempts as well. Houston ends the year on a loss. San Fran ends the year on a win. And let me check these stats. Because, as I said, I do believe there was a record broken. Oh, let's see. Actually, there was a couple broken this year. Biggie Bags breaking the rushing record. I'm honestly not surprised with that one. Did it by almost 200 full yards. Just missed out on the rushing touchdown. Okay, yeah, D Ford breaking the sack total for the season. Previous being 39 from Brett Wickstrom season one. The new total is now 41 for D Ford. And Jamal Adams breaking the interception record as well. 18. We've had quite a few here that have had 14, but 18 for Jamal Adams, even Isaiah Simmons for Denver matching the old total of 14. We've even got more for San Fran having 13 on the year. So these guys all up on the list as well, which is unusual because that's one stat that's usually never close to even being matched. So that's pretty cool. I mean, stats like that are hard to come by, for those to get broken or nearly be broken, just to have somebody in the top 10, that's pretty sweet. Okay, so let's move back over and let's finish out the week. Gotta find my spot here. Next up, we have got the Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Green Bay Packers. Pittsburgh still fighting for a playoff spot. Win and in. All the situation is win and in. Well, they did it in a very close game, an absolutely crazy game that I wish everybody could end up seeing. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen. 44-43 was the final in this game. 44-43. 2 points. A safety is what won Pittsburgh the game. A safety won Pittsburgh the game. Absolutely fucking incredible. 597 yards of offense there for Pittsburgh. 485 yards of offense for the Green Bay Packers. One glaring stat, though. Even though Pitt had almost 600 yards of offense, only 26 of those yards were rushing yards. So, I mean, we already know how good Denver, Green Bay's defense is, especially when it comes to rushing. But I'm honestly almost surprised they won this game being so one-dimensional. 11 total turnovers in this one, unfortunately. So, I mean, you know, with the high score, I'm kind of not surprised. Which means it was a good defensive battle. But then, obviously, the offenses were putting in work on the other end as well. 5 of them going to Pittsburgh, 6 of them going to Green Bay. And time of possession in favor of Pittsburgh, 16-14 to 15-46. Aaron Rodgers, 443 yards, 4 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Joe Burrow, 578 yards, 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Wow. Okay. On to rushing, we've got Christian McCaffrey, 15 attempts, 71 yards, and a touchdown. Jalen Samuels for Pittsburgh, 5 attempts, 19 yards. And Chris Carson, 2 attempts for 7 yards. Joe Burrow with a fumble as well. Receiving, Caden Smith, 14 receptions, 339 yards, 3 touchdowns on the day. So, really, really good game there for Smith. We're pretty used to those types of games. Even though it would be nice to see Pittsburgh move the ball around a little more, can almost count on him having a solid game. Juju Smith-Schuster, 7 receptions, 113 yards, and a touchdown. Green Bay's Henry Ruggs III, 3 receptions, 92 yards, 2 touchdowns. Nick Boyle, 4 receptions, 85 yards, and a touchdown. Davante Adams, wow, Davante Adams didn't even have, I mean, he had an okay day, but he didn't even have the game that he normally has. 4 receptions, 63 yards, didn't even have a touchdown in this one. So, they put a stop to him for sure, that Pittsburgh defense. That is one reason they won this game. Speaking of Pittsburgh, we've got Chris Carson not having amazing rushing totals, but chipping in on the receiving end as well. 3 receptions, 53 yards, and a touchdown. Green Bay's Keelan Cole, 2 receptions, 40 yards. Pittsburgh's Antonio Brown, 2 receptions, 40 yards. McCaffrey chipping in on the receiving end as well. 2 receptions, 36 yards. Aaron Jones for Green Bay with a 28-yard touchdown reception. And Nick Vinette with 4 receptions, 21 yards, and a touchdown as well there for Pittsburgh. Dragon Ball's on top here for defense. Not surprised there. 11 tackles, 2 interceptions on the day. Kevin King, 7 tackles on the day. Next couple here being Pittsburgh. We've got Devin Bush as well as Terrell Edmonds with 7 tackles. Ronald Darby with 5. Back to Green Bay for the next two. We've got Darnell Savage, 5 tackles and an interception. And Patrick Onwuesor, 5 tackles, 2 for loss. Ryan Shazier making the playoffs in his final season. So they got that playoff push. Let's see how far they can go with him. 5 tackles, tackle for a loss for him. Pittsburgh's Steven Nelson as well, 5 tackles and an interception. Jordan Jenkins for Pittsburgh, 4 tackles, tackle for a loss and a sack. Chandon Sullivan for the Green Bay Packers, four tackles and an interception. Pittsburgh's Minkah Fitzpatrick, four tackles, three interception day for him. Packers, Green Bay Packers, Adrian Amos, three tackles and an interception for him on the day as well. For the Steelers, we've got Stephon Tuitt, a tackle and a sack. Kenny Clark, as well as Za'Darius Smith, who, wow, had an off game himself. Both with a tackle and a half a sack. So that's another reason that Green Bay didn't win this game, because when Za'Darius Smith is having himself a game, the team's hard to beat. If he's being isolated like he was this game, there's a chance, because that means their defense is not clicking on all cylinders. And finally, we move over to kicking. Chris Boswell connecting on his only field goal from 20 yards, 3 for 6 from extra point. And Tiny Boop Squeak Shorterly missing his only field goal attempt, as well as 3 for 4 on extra points as well. Next, we have, like I said, Pittsburgh winning in. They made it. Finishing off the year with a win. Green Bay finishing it off with a loss. Up next, we've got the Baltimore Ravens taking on the San Diego Crusaders. The Ravens needed to win and needed Pittsburgh to lose to make the playoffs. Next year, they would be the third wild card team. Unfortunately, this isn't next year. This is the here, the now, this year. Just missing out on the playoffs, even though they did their part. 17-7 victory here for them. 327 yards to San Diego's 191. No turnovers in this game, and time possession in favor of Baltimore by almost, well, not really almost. We're looking at like 10 and a half minutes, roughly. Easton Stick, 130 yards and a touchdown, sacked four times. Kyler Murray, 209 yards and a touchdown as well. Todd Gurley, 21 attempts, 67 yards and a touchdown. Easton Stick chipping in with the rushing as well as his passing totals, 9 attempts, 34 yards. Kyler Murray helping out as well, 7 attempts for 30 yards. Mark Ingram, the second, 5 attempts for 21 yards there in Baltimore. Royce Freeman, 5 attempts, 18 yards. And Chase Edmonds, both for San Diego, 6 attempts for 11 yards. N'Keal Harry tops here, 4 receiving, 7 receptions, 75 yards for him. Taywan Taylor for San Diego, 4 receptions for 52 yards. Kason Rudy, next couple being Baltimore, 4 receptions, 51 yards. Miles Boykin, 3 receptions, 36 yards. Todd Gurley helping out with the 21-yard reception as well. Next few being San Diego. Chase Edmonds helping out there as well. 18-yard reception. Justin Jefferson, 2 receptions, 17 yards. Hunter Henry, 2 receptions, 16 yards. We've got Mark Ingram the second with a 8-yard touchdown reception with his rushing totals. And Royce Freeman helping out there as well, 2 receptions, 7 yards, and a touchdown. On defense, first few being San Diego, Adrian Phillips and Dylan Moses, 9 tackles. Drew Tranquil, 8 tackles. Christian Fulton, 6 tackles, tackle for a loss. Casey Hayward Jr., 5 tackles. Next few, Baltimore, Muhammad Sanogo, as well as Deshaun Elliott, 5 tackles, tackle for a loss. Aaron Donald, 4 tackles, tackle for a loss, sack and a half. JC Jackson, 4 tackles, as well as Tavon Young with 4 tackles. Jalen Ferguson, 4 tackles, half a sack. Brandon Williams, 4 tackles, tackle for a loss, sack and a half. And then we've got Tyrone Crawford, 3 tackles, half a sack to finish that out. Kicking, Justin Tucker making his only field goal attempt from 57 yards, connecting both extra points, and Randy Bullock for the Crusaders hitting his only extra point attempt. So Crusaders end with a loss. Ravens end with a win. Unfortunately, it didn't matter for them in the end. And the final game of the regular season, we've got the Seattle Seahawks taking on the Philadelphia Eagles, 49-35 here for the Seahawks, 496 yards of offense for them, 439 for Philly. Again, no turnovers in this one. And time possession in favor of Seattle by just under 5 minutes. Russell Wilson, 244 yards, two touchdowns. Justin Fields, 290 yards, two touchdowns. See Breezy, 21 attempts, 219 yards, three touchdowns. Amazing game for him. Forrest Gump, 17 attempts, 125 yards, and a touchdown for him. Always pretty much automatic to see him with double-digit attempts with 100-plus yards and a touchdown. Keyshawn Vaughn, Seattle, 8 attempts, 23 yards, and a touchdown. Miles Sanders, Philly, 4 attempts, 13 yards, 2 touchdowns. Russell Wilson chipping in on that end as well. 2 receptions, 10 yards, and a touchdown. Justin Fields had a 6-yard rush as well. Tyler Lockett, 7 receptions, 96 yards. Julio Jones, 5 receptions, 83 yards for Philly. Curtis Samuel as well there for the Birds. 6 receptions, 51 yards, and a touchdown. Will Disley, 3 receptions, 48 yards for Seattle. Brandon Cooks, 5 receptions, 47 yards in Philly. Zach Ertz, 2 receptions, 35 yards. Trent Taylor, 3 receptions, 35 yards, and a touchdown for him. Seattle's DK Metcalf, 3 receptions, 28 yards. And Danny Vitale for Seattle as well, 2 receptions, 19 yards, both being touchdowns. Defense, Caden Sarnes, Philadelphia, 9 tackles. Trey Flowers, Seattle. And Bobby Wagner for Seattle, 8 tackles. Sidney Jones IV for Philly, 7 tackles. Keanu Neal, Seattle, 7 tackles. Charvarius Ward, 6 tackles, Seattle. Philly next few, Cravon LeBlanc, 6 tackles. Ben Neiman, 5 tackles. Matt Milano, Fletcher Cox, 5 tackles, 1 for a loss. Looks like basically just a pretty solid tackling day. Seattle's Jadeveon Clowney, 2 tackles and a sack. Other than that, that's pretty much it there. And to finish off the final game of the final week of the regular season, we head to kicking. Jake Elliott, 5 for 5 from extra point. Jason Myers for Seattle, 7 for 7. Philly ending the year with a loss. Overall, a really incredible end to the season, regular season that is. Quite a few games still actually matter in this one, which was awesome. Playoff seeding, winning in, win loss in. Like I said, had this been next year, we've got teams who would have been in next year who aren't this year. So, I mean, that's pretty fucking crazy as well. All in all, just a very, very good third year regular season for us. Absolutely incredible. But with that, I want to move on to our playoff preview. So let's start off with the NFC side of things. We've got the San Francisco 49ers clinching number one seed home field advantage throughout the playoffs. 15-1 record there for them. We've got the Oklahoma City Nighthawks with the two seed clinching a first round bye. 15-1 record as well. The three seed once again goes to Green Bay this year, at just as they were last year. 11-5 record there for them. The London Monarchs taking the four seed with a record of 11-5. The five seed goes to a Brooklyn Bulls team who went 13-3 this year. So think about that one for a moment. The third best team in the NFC is the 5 seed in the playoffs. The third best team from a record standpoint is the 5 seed. Just shows how great the NFC is. And to wrap up the NFC side, we have got the Philadelphia Eagles who let the division slip away. Same record as the London Monarchs, 11-5. Obviously, London had the tiebreaker. I believe that was that a win and division situation? I believe they both lost week 17. Yes, they did. So yeah, there was a tiebreaker there somewhere for them to have the win. They must have had the head-to-heads or possibly the divisional. Was it the division wins? It would have been the division wins because Monarchs went 5-1 and Eagles went 4-2. So there you go. There's how that seeding went. So moving on, we head to the AFC side of things. Of course, we've got the Denver Broncos clinching the number one seed home field advantage throughout. 15-1 record there for them. We have the Cleveland Browns in the number two seed, clinching a first round bye with a record of 14-2. We've got the New England Patriots with the three seed at 12-4. The Tennessee Titans taking the four seed at 9-7. And then we've got the Dolphins at 5 seed at 10-6, as well as the Pittsburgh Steelers taking the 6 seed at number 6. And think about this one for a moment as well. We've got the Miami Dolphins and the Pittsburgh Steelers, both wild card teams in this one, having a better regular season record than the defending champions, who are the 4 seed. Again, absolutely incredible. So, there's a lot of stuff that could really go on here for, the playoffs this year. It's definitely exciting. It's honestly, the playoffs this year are so stacked once again that you really just cannot tell who's going to win what game any given day. Anybody can win any given day. Absolutely fucking incredible. Honestly, there's really not too much more I can say about that. If I have to choose a dark horse team, just because of last year, I'd have to say Tennessee. They did win the Super Bowl. I believe they played in a wild card round last year as well, possibly being 3 seed if I remember correctly. At least that being for the AFC side. You definitely can't count out Brooklyn for sure on the NFC, considering they made it to the Super Bowl and they were my dark horse pick last season. But I'll be honest, and this is going to sound a little weird, quite frankly, but my dark horse pick for the NFC is actually the Oklahoma City Nighthawks. Now, hear me out. I understand they are the 5 seed, or sorry, the 2 seed. I understand that, you know, they got that bye, so they've got a little easier trip. But compared to who else is here, we know what San Francisco can do. We know what Philly can do. We know what Brooklyn can do. Green Bay and London are both really good teams as well. And, you know, we know what the Nighthawks can do as well. Just the thing about it is, He's had a really good year this year. Last year, you know, was a little rocky road for him. But that being said, with what he's done this year, I feel like making him my dark horse pick, at least on the NFC side as well. Probably the playoffs as a whole. Like I said, he did good this year, but with the way that these playoffs are set up, anybody can win at any given time. With the amount of teams on the NFC side that he'd have to play. Any of those guys can win, but it would not surprise me to see him win. And people would least expect it. So, for the playoffs as a whole, my dark horse pick for season 3 playoffs, Oklahoma City Nighthawks. I don't care that they're a 2 seed. That's just how I feel. So with that, let's move on to the wild card preview. Our 4 games slated for the wild card round. We've got the Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the New England Patriots. We've got the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Green Bay Packers. Miami Dolphins against the Tennessee Titans. And the Brooklyn Bulls taking on the London Monarchs. So let's start from the top here. Pittsburgh versus New England. Should be an incredible game. Who do I feel will win? I want to go with New England here. Based on their recent history, New England has taken every single one. Their last time these two have met was last year in a very close game, a 2-point victory. I believe it was 24-22, I want to say, roughly, in favor of New England, which was like the first month, the first quarter of last season. Now, I'm not by any means saying Pittsburgh can't win this game at all. If things go the way they went in that first game and it's a close game and things, the momentum that Pittsburgh just got from that win in week 17 continues to roll, I could definitely see them winning this game. But for now, to head into the divisional round, I will choose the New England Patriots. Recapping, previewing the Philadelphia Green Bay game. If I have to choose a winner right now, I'd say the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, Green Bay has that amazing defense. But their offense, to me, isn't up to par with that defense. I know they say defense wins championships, and, you know, like I said, Green Bay has one of the best, if not the best defense in the league. But on the flip side, Philadelphia, does have Justin Fields. They do have Forrest Gump. So it'll be a battle for sure. A very, very good battle for sure. The last time that these two met, I would love to say it was this year, possibly. Yes, it was week 1 this year. And that was a very close game as well. Green Bay just missing out on the win as it was a 38-35 victory. So again, it's one of these games where it could almost go either way. As long as that Green Bay defense shuts down that offense and they can get something going on offense themselves, I could see Green Bay winning this game. The key here is just like that first game at the beginning of the year, I want to say New England again. Man, I'm on the second game, guys. I'm on the second game. Philadelphia Eagles. Dear Lord. What a freaking morning. I feel like Philly, let's get this right this time. Can they do just enough to stave off that Green Bay defense to slip out with the win? That's going to be the question. And I believe they can once again. They've got the power on offense to counteract that power on their defense. So I will go with Philly on this one as well. Back to the New England game for one moment. I don't remember for sure, but I want to say they played in New England the last time these two played. So think about that one. And for the Green Bay game, that was a home game for Green Bay as well. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Our next matchup, we've got the Miami Dolphins taking on the Tennessee Titans. This one could go either way, much, much more than any game the entire weekend. Man, the last time these two played, which was, did they play in the regular season? They did. Okay, the last time these two teams played, week 7 this year, Miami getting revenge from the AFC Championship the year before. So this is the rubber match. This game literally could go either way. Both teams have great offenses, very good offenses. Both teams have very good defenses. I did say the Titans were my dark horse pick for the AFC, even though they won the Super Bowl last season. So, that being said, I definitely want to go with Tennessee for the win here to move on to the divisional round. But that's not to say Miami cannot swoop in and take this one. It was like 37-17 or 38-17, something of that sort, when they played earlier this year. It was a pretty wide margin for victory for Tennessee when these two played in the AFC Championship. So this game literally can go either fucking way. Tennessee's my pick. If the offense clicks, I feel like it's game over if their defense can make a couple plays. But on the flip side, I could say the same thing about Miami. If that offense clicks and the defense can make enough plays, it's game over. Miami's huge stuff here. They're huge defensive players. I mean, I really can't pinpoint one, any particular defensive player for Tennessee because they are a solid cohesion unit on defense. Whereas Miami's got two huge ones in Rutherford and Jordan. Those two guys will smack a quarterback for sure. And then on offense, you've got Newton. You've got like two, three halfbacks that can do anything at any time. Dobbins. Hubbard, Felix Gerard has been throwing his name in the ringer there. They don't have like great receivers, but not that it really matters. Most of the receivers are pretty dependable. And then for Tennessee, you've got Richardson at QB, Derrick Henry at freaking halfback. I forget the other halfback's name at the moment. He slips my mind. Oh, what's his name? Zach Moss. You've got him as well. You've got Corey Davis at receiver. You've got AJ Brown at receiver. So very, very solid teams both in this matchup. So it's gonna be fun to see what happens with this one as well. And moving on to our final matchup of the weekend, we've got the Brooklyn Bulls taking on the London Monarchs. This game, to me, if I have to pick a winner right now, it is going to be the Brooklyn Bulls. And I say that one because, we saw what they could do this year. Last year, sorry. Brooklyn's made a ton of amazing moves this year. The big one being getting Lamar Jackson. They broke an undefeated streak with a backup rookie or second-year man, Shea Patterson, who lost the Super Bowl in his rookie season, for God's sake. The last time these two met up was week two, a 28-14 victory for the Bulls. As a betting man, I would fully put. I mean, that game was close, but considering the moves that had been made after that game for Brooklyn, I feel like Brooklyn's gonna run away with this game. I really do. It's not that London doesn't have a good team. I mean, they've got Hunt, they've got Elliott, they've got Chris Mercado at quarterback. They have DeAndre Hopkins at receiver, J.J. Watt on defense. They've got an amazing team. They really do. But to me, just based on last year, based on the moves done this year, knowing what the Brooklyn Bulls can do, I mean, you've got Lamar, you've got Shea Patterson, you've got, and that's a dual threat right there, just at QB. I mean, just for shits and gigs, like Lamar wouldn't even have to play this game, and I honestly would be comfortable seeing Shea Patterson take over in the playoffs just because of last year. So you got both of them. You've got TJ Logan, Sony Michel halfback. You have fucking Cooper Kupp at receiver. Tylan Wallace has been a very reliable receiver for them as well. On defense, you've got Derwin James. You've got shoot. I need a couple more names here. Names are starting to slip on me here at the moment. Obviously, also Timothy Poindexter, the rookie from Delaware State. Grant Delpit. They still have Jalen Ramsey as well. AJ Epenesa has been really good for them this year. Yeah. They have, I believe, between the Bulls and New England, they have the most complete teams, I feel. Not a knock on any of the other teams, because Miami and Tennessee have really good teams. Very, very solid all the way around. Pittsburgh and Green Bay are very solid all the way around. Packers kind of lacking a little bit on offense. Steelers lacking a little bit on defense. The Eagles have an amazing offense, but their downside is their defense a little bit. The Monarchs' downside his defense as well. Really, the only name you can point out the most for them on defense is J.J. Watt. So, yeah, to me, the Bulls and the Patriots both, I feel, have the most complete teams. And, names I didn't really get into here for New England versus Pittsburgh, so I may have to go back to that game once again. But, there's a lot of names that you can pick out on both sides of the ball for both those teams. So yeah, my prediction on that, Brooklyn's gonna run away with this one, I feel. I really do. I kind of feel that one in my soul. So to head back to the New England Pittsburgh game here real quick. As I said, this game could go kind of either way. I feel like New England's gonna take it. For Pittsburgh, you've got Joe Burrow, who won the Super Bowl as a rookie last year. Now they're in Pittsburgh. Chris Carson has been on a tear with that team. Jalen Samuels has been really good at halfback as well. You've got fucking Antonio Brown, who, I mean, he hasn't done much for the team, but he's still been pretty solid. Caden Smith, the monster 7-foot tight end who has just wrecked everybody, except New England, in the league. New England seems to be one of the few teams who can keep him at bay. But they've also got Smith-Schuster at wide out. On defense, they've got Kyle Van Noy. He's the only one I could think of off the top of my head at this moment. Ryan Shazier. So they got a couple guys on defense as well. And then over on New England, you got Williamson, who won the Super Bowl in his rookie season. I can't say Saquon this year because he's been gone all year. But, I mean, just to throw names in, of course they got him on any given day. Obviously not this year. Kamara, who's a big name, even though he's been pretty tough to get going sometimes throughout the season. Jonathan Taylor hasn't been too bad. He's starting to come into his own. You've got OBJ, Jerry Jeudy, Hollywood Brown, CeeDee Lamb, Albert Okwuegbunam at tight end. Defense, you got TJ Watt, JJ Watt's baby brother, Marlon Humphrey, Dante Hightower. Shoot. Freaking. Who am I missing here? Devin White hasn't been very bad. Eric Armstead hasn't been too bad for them either. Chidobe Awuzie has been pretty solid since signing with them. They traded for Jabril Peppers, I believe. Maybe they signed him. Honestly, can't remember there. Jeffrey Okuda, CJ Henderson, who were rookies last year. Just a few things there for those teams as well. But before I go, we'll go through a rundown here. Once again, you've got Pittsburgh taking on New England. I feel like New England's going to win that game. Philly taking on Green Bay. I feel like Philly's going to win that one. Dolphins, Titans, like I said, could definitely go either way, more so than any other game. This weekend, I feel Tennessee's going to win it. And then you've got the Bulls and the Monarchs, who I feel the Bulls are going to run away. So that wraps up the playoff preview and the wild card weekend. Now, my next plan is to take post-game conferences, hopefully for these games, if all goes well. I'd love to do that. Of course, I'm gonna be recapping the playoff games as well as previewing the games that come next. I know the Pro Bowl is not a huge thing, so I don't know if I'm going to really preview that one or not. Maybe I might spend like 2, 3 minutes on it. I honestly don't know what I want to do with that one yet. I do know that game will be played as it gets played every single year in the league. So yeah, that's pretty much all I got for you at this point, guys. Don't believe we have the where's it at? Don't believe we have our awards yet. So, yeah. Doesn't look like we got that yet either. So, okay, guys. I will see you next time. Recapping the games from the wild card weekend and previewing the divisional round. Hopefully, with post-game conferences. So, until next time, I'm the Commish. This is FNF Zone Coverage.